seem like Sunday school meetings. And if your mind runs that way, you've got plenty of time to think up some yourself. Charlie Dean was on our crew, and Charlie could tell some dillies. He'd been on Mars back in the old days when there was still trouble with the Bolies, and when living on Mars was a lot like living on Earth back in the days of Indian fighting. The Bolies thought and fought a lot like Amerinds, even though they were quadrupeds that looked like alligators on stilts, if you can picture an alligator on stilts, and used blowguns instead of bows and arrows. Or was it crossbows that the Amerinds used against the colonists? Anyway, Charlie's just finished a whopper that was really too good for the first tryout of the trip. We just landed, you see, and we're resting up from doing nothing en route, and usually the yarns start off easy and believable and don't work up to real depth of space lying until along about the fourth week when everybody's bored stiff. "So we took this head Boley," Charlie was ending up, "and you know what kind of flappy little ears they've got, and we put a couple of zircon-studded earrings in its ears and let it go. And back it went to the others, and then damned if..." Well, I won't go on with Charlie's yarn, because it hasn't got anything to do with this story, except that it brought earrings into the conversation. When Charlie'd finished, Zeb Weller stood up and sniffed. "Air's getting kind of bad in here," he said. "Reckon I'll go out and get my first shift over with. Anybody want to come?" Ray went with him. Our tug had equipment for only two men to work outside at a time, and the rest of us helped them into suits and out the lock, and then settled down for some more talk, there being nothing else to do. Zeb's remark about the air had been just a crack at Charlie's story, of course. "How did you happen to have zircon earrings along?" Blake Powers asked Charlie when things had quietened down again. Blake was skipper for the Voyages, but now that we were anchored down on our asteroid, he was just one of the boys until we took off again.
"In with the slum for trading," Charlie said. "When you're going to any place in the system that might be inhabited, and you don't know by what kind of critters, you take a little of almost everything. You never know what's going to strike the fancy of any civilized or semi-civilized race you might hit. It might be mirrors. I've known dime store mirrors to bring in twice their weight in radium salt. Or it might be paperclips, or harmonicas, or salted peanuts, or plaster statuettes." He turned to me and said, "You know that, Hank. You've been on a first trip or two. So have you, Blake."
Blake nodded. "Yeah, I remember. I was on the crew of the ship that landed first on Phobos. You know what the Phobonians turned out to be like, of course. They had about everything we had, and damned if we could do a lick of trading until the captain of our ship put something back in a box and happened to put a rubber band around the box. They went nuts. They'd never see anything that had elasticity. Rubber or anything like it simply wasn't known on Phobos. We managed to find a few dozen rubber bands in the ship's office and practically bought out Phobos with them. One of the crew was wearing old-fashioned suspenders with elastic in them, and he traded them for a bucket of Phobonian celestones. Had to hold up his pants with a piece of rope for the rest of the trip, but when he got back to Earth, he was rich. Me, I was wearing a belt. I've worn suspenders ever since, but I never got back to Phobos. Not that it would matter if I did. Interplanet's doing a regular trade in rubber there now, and it's down to 20 credits a pound, or thereabouts." Blake shook his head gloomily and then turned to me. He said, "Hank, what went on Ganymede? You were on that ship that went out there a few months ago, weren't you? The first one that got through. I've never read or heard much about that trip."
"Me either," Charlie said, "except that the Ganymedians turned out to be humanoid beings about 4 feet tall and didn't wear a thing except earrings. Kind of immodest, wasn't it?"
I grinned. "Yeah, you wouldn't have thought so if you'd seen the Ganymedians. With them, it didn't matter. Anyway, they didn't wear earrings."
"You're crazy," Charlie said. "Sure, I know you were on that expedition, and I wasn't, but you're still crazy because I had a quick look at some of the pictures they brought back. The natives wore earrings."
"No," I said. "Earrings wore them." Blake sighed deeply. "Oh, I knew it, I knew it. There was something wrong with this trip from the start. Charlie pops off the first day with a yarn that should have been worked up to gradually. And now you say, or is there something wrong with my sense of earring?"